Hello, I'm Sandy Harper here with my co-host Dick Reichman, and welcome to Alaska Radio Reader Rambler, your monthly potpourri of literary snacks for the mind and interviews. And, you know, maybe you've all been noticing there's been a lot of cultural anniversaries this year and will be next year. So I'm figuring 25 or 30 years ago in Anchorage must have been a hotbed of Quantum Leap's activities. But today we're here to especially celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Lusac Library. And our guests are Tony McPherson, who is the Community Relations Coordinator, and the wonderful Shane Mitchell, a playwright who wrote a play about Zach Lusac. So maybe we're going to find out about the library, about Zach, and what's going on. So, Tony, maybe you could tell us what's going on and maybe a flashback to how the Lusac Library happened.
Well, there's a lot of things that are going on. We've got probably close to 10 different events that are going on over the next couple months, so it's hard to go into detail about all of them. We're going to have a writer series where there's going to be writers here coming, talking, four different writers. On the 10th of September, there's going to be a community picnic. We're inviting everyone to come and bring their picnics, and we're going to supply lemonade and cake. Then the cultural one things that are happening, it starts on the 1st. We're going to have our first ever Art with Books, and we have local artists who wanted to come in and create something out of books. So every single thing in the exhibit will have a book component. And there's going to be lots of surprises with that, and that's on September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, there's a bunch of other things. The best way to figure it out is probably go to our website because there's a lot of details. But I am really excited about the reading of the play.
Well, it's my favorite thing, of course, the courtship of Zach and Ada. And probably Shane can tell why it's my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah. We were just discussing before we went on the air that I didn't fully know who Zach Lusac was until I started to work with your husband, Jerry,
mm-hmm.
and found out that Zach Lusac had been Jerry who founded Cyrano's Theater Company, was Jerry Harper's stepfather, and in fact was the very first philanthropist in Alaska, that he had owned many buildings downtown in what is now the Lusac Son Building,
mm-hmm.
that when he sold that, the proceeds of that went to found Anchorage's very first library.
Right,
the
and
Lusac Library.
Ada used to go by that building and say, there's my yacht.
There's my yacht, exactly. And that building used to stand where the Performing Arts Center, well, the town square is now,
mm-hmm.
Right in front of the Performing Arts Center, and 25 years ago moved to its current location, and there's still so much wonderful history about the library and about Zach Lusac and Ada Harper, who was his sort of December romance.
Mm-hmm.
And the play is all about their life together and also how their life kind of joined with the journey to statehood for Alaska.
Exactly. And, you know, all the people who have buildings and venues named after them are part of this play, like the Atwoods, for example.
Oh, yeah, the Atwoods, the Egans, the, you know, the Sullivans. You hear these names and you forget they're real people. And,
exactly.
And even at that, one of the things in researching the play that was so interesting is we look at these people and they're so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start to investigate their real lives and get to know them as real people, and it's just so exciting. The University of Washington that had the recording that you provided for
yes.
me. There was actually an interview with Ada Lusac that you're actually hearing her voice and hearing the anecdotes of her actual life and her life with Zach together. And it's marvelous to go back and experience these people as people and not necessarily the icons that we think of them as.
Yeah, the reality for my grandchildren, Heather will always be Ada Harper Lusac to them because
yeah.
that's who they saw portray the part.
Yes, Heather Sawyer.
I'm wondering, Shane, where did you go to research the play? Aside from the things that Sandy helped you with, surely you went somewhere to find out the newspaper history of these folk.
Well, interestingly enough, much of the information came from Valdez because back in those days, Anchorage was not the city that it would come to be. Many of these people started out in Valdez and Seward and then were drawn to Anchorage later as it began to develop. And so a lot of those, I would go down there, and much of what I got was actual interviews with people who were alive in that day.
But you were in the Valdez Museum.
Oh, yes, totally. The Valdez Museum. And actually, Valdez has a number of historical landmarks around the city that will tell you the history of different people and different individuals. And many people were still living. But one of the challenges that I ran into was I had this list of people. Somebody, you know, someone would say, like Charlie, who used to run the coffee shop across from you.
Oh, yes.
He had this list of people. Says, go
McAlpine,
talk.
McAlpine, yeah.
Yes, yeah, Charlie McAlpine. Yeah. And he said, go talk to these people. They'll tell you this history. And in the 18 months I was researching the play, so many of that list of people would pass away before I could get to them, or I would talk to them, and one person would have one story and another person would have a conflicting story.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I tried to do was to confirm every source by two sources. Everything that went into the play had to be confirmed by two sources.
Of course, at that point, you could make up anything you want.
Yeah, because if everybody passes away, then...
No, you couldn't.
But it was really very interesting when the play opened, mm-hmm. that how many people would come up to me on evenings that I saw the show and say, you got this wrong.
Oh.
Zach didn't do this or Zach didn't do that. And sometimes they were right, and sometimes they were absolutely made mistakes. I remember a gentleman coming up and said, you have Zach Lusak driving a Cadillac, and there were no Cadillacs in Anchorage at that time. And I actually have photographic evidence of Zach driving the Cadillac that we refer to in the show.
Right. He was a famous, dangerous driver. Everybody got out of the way when Zach was driving.
I think it was Vic Fisher who told me that Zach would literally stop in the middle of Main Street, get out of his car, and go talk to somebody on the side of the road, just leaving his car right there, and then come back in and get into it.
Well, actually, they do that in Valdez. I lived in Valdez many years, and they do that in Valdez.
Maybe it's just an Alaskan thing.
But, Zach, in addition to being a philanthropist, of course, was a mayor of Anchorage. And
twice.
Yes, twice mayor. Mm-hmm. Of Anchorage, and just very, very involved. Very involved with the Jewish community, and he always gave to the State of Israel, which was blooming. And his family had fled the pogroms from mm-hmm. Russia, and were in Israel. And he never, ever neglected them. He always supported them all through his life. And we think of a philanthropist as this lifelong wealthy man, but he had been very wealthy, his family had been very wealthy in Russia, lost everything in the pogroms. He came to America speaking three different languages, none of them English, and became this self-educated guy.
Therefore loved libraries.
Oh yes, very much so. And not just libraries, but learning.
Yeah.
And came to Alaska and lost two fortunes mm-hmm. before he ever really became the source of wealth that ended up helping to build Alaska's arts and culture. Just a tremendous man. Very, very interesting guy.
What I love is when he first started the foundation, Elmer Rasmussen was his treasurer. And later on, of course, Mr. Rasmussen figured out to build his own foundation, which now is a major, major catalyst for good in the state of Alaska.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Rasmussen Foundation helped support the museum. Mm-hmm. And the Lusak Foundation, which founded the Lusak Library, kind of folded into the Rasmussen Foundation.
And that's why Ada was a member of the board once, and at one point Jerry and I were as well.
That's true, yeah.
So.
And then Ada, his wife, was what an amazing story.
Yes.
You know, she worked in airline factories during the World War.
Yeah,
and
she invented something
that actually made aircraft safer, and mm-hmm. they never gave her any credit. She got no monetary...
It was all for the war effort in
that's
those
right.
days. We are continuing.
But just a very colorful woman, a real...
She was a painter.
Yeah, and everybody talks about what the life of the party she always was.
Yes.
Just a spunky... and, you know, both of them kind of stout people. And I recall that Jerry would call them the hobbits.
They looked like the hobbits. And, you know, in those days, there wasn't near the population in Alaska, but they had parties, all the time parties, and dressed to the nine. Of course, Ada had a dress store, which was really one of the reasons she and Zach got to know each
right,
other.
Right, the right there where Cyrano's is now.
Where the cafe is.
Where the cafe is, mm-hmm. Ada's dress store. And... Zach had been her landlord,
mm-hmm.
and they were just, it was just such a sweet romance, you know, something that you would think of from younger people. But coming as they did in the Decembers of their lives, They both maintained that each other was the love of their life.
How old was Ada when she married Zach? I know he was 66.
She was in her 40s.
She was in her mid-40s. Yep, there was a little less than 20 years difference between them. And as they got on in years, one of the things that Ada was very afraid of was Zach passing away. Hmm. And in fact, he was in Seattle when he passed away. They retired to Seattle by the time that the earthquake hit and stuff. By the time we actually achieved statehood, they were living in Seattle, but he was still a staunch campaigner for statehood. One of the things that was the catalyst for this whole play was when Sandy approached me to write a play about the history of Alaska coming to statehood, I went, that's kind of a dry topic. But I'd remembered a conversation with Jerry where he said, you know, on the day my mom married Zach Lusack, he got on a plane and flew to Washington to lobby for statehood. And I went, wow, okay, that's a very interesting story. So the play becomes this intertwining of their romance as we struggle towards statehood. And it's, I flatter myself in saying it's pretty effective.
I thought that it was really effective. You just have three couples, but the two of the couples just keep changing names and identities. Well, Zach and Ada are the same. And then when you had it staged at Cyrano's, then the slides of the day, so you really get a sense of what was going on.
And that's, I've really got to thank the University of Alaska Anchorage and the University of Alaska Fairbanks. They were really instrumental in helping us find those period photographs. And then the Alaska Moving Image Preservation Association provided us with an awful lot of support in finding those images from that day. And it really brought it to life.
It really did. Are they going to be a part of the reading? Have you been able to do that?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh,
yes. Wonderful.
I'm so excited.
And hopefully it'll be much of the same cast. Actors have a tendency to go project to project, and we've approached them, and everybody's looking for through their schedules. But you know, so much in life has happened since then. Heather Sawyer, who played Ada Lusack, is now with child, mm-hmm. but she's going to be Ada in my mind forever. But we're hoping to have her and David Haynes and Lindsay Lamar and the rest of the original cast back, as many of them as we can get, because the chemistry there was just so fantastic.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. So, of course, you won't have the costumes in the set, but they really added to
And, yeah, that was something very interesting. Petra Banks, shameless plug for Spelling Bee, which is happening right now.
Yes.
Petra Banks is the designer for Spelling Bee at Cyrano's. She mm-hmm. was also the set designer for The Courtship of Zach and Ada mm-hmm. and did this incredible Art Deco set. And what was very cool about it is I think most people, when they think of Alaska in that transitory time, kind of get this sourdough image, you know, very rough. But they were very cultured. There was just so much money flowing that art and fashion. And
these, Club Paris.
And, yeah. Oh, well, and that's the fun thing. You know, in the play, we mention these local stores that are still around, Bagoy's and Club Paris, who graciously allowed us to use their names. And it was fun to be in the audience. And when they recognized the fact that Zach and Ada are in Club Paris, you would see this little buzz go through the audience, you know. And of course, in our opening night, Club Paris catered the whole event.
Yes, they did.
So, yeah, the other day, I kept hearing that Zach gave $500,000 to the library, $500,000. So I looked it up in today's terms. That's over $4 million that he gave.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you literally look and say, okay, somebody wants to be a philanthropist in today's economy, and they own a building, and they sell that building, and the proceeds that they give, I mean, just what a sacrifice that represents, and how much of a commitment that is to
the generosity to build a community.
Right, community is the word I'm searching for. Just the absolute commitment to the community. And I think Alaska kind of gets the reputation of a get-rich-quick, get-out-quick mentality. And the fact that Zach and Ada together so richly invested in our community, and that the library has become just an absolute fixture of Alaska. It's become, or an Anchorage at least, that it's a landmark. That if you go, okay, it's two back blocks past the library, it's the movie theater across from the library, everybody knows what you're talking about.
You know, the early library that Zach's funds that originally built downtown, Bruce Merrill, who was in charge of Alaskana at the Lusac and built it into a phenomenal asset. He was a teenage intern then. Did you know that?
No, I didn't realize that.
And apparently that first librarian who went on to the, I guess, did she go on to the Lusac? She was supposed to be an amazing person. You don't know.
There was a, but you know, you talk about these people who were young. David Haynes, who plays Zach in the show, his mentor as he was growing up was the actual guy who set the type for the "We're In" big banner on the newspaper. And so, as we were developing the script, Dave said, "You know, do you mind if we mention his name? Can we fit this in?" And I went, "Absolutely." It was just, you know, so great to meet these iconic people and just hear the actual stories of these things that I've seen all of my life or I've heard all of my life, and they're real, you know? And since it's Reading Rambler, I do want to plug some books.
Of course.
if you're really interested in the history of Alaska, and particularly that transitory time, Aunt Phil's Trunk.
Oh, yes, they're great.
That whole series of books were really instrumental in not necessarily the things that I was able to take out of them, but they became the roadmap of knowing who to go talk to.
Yeah, and yeah, this Aunt Phil apparently was a journalist in those days, and she wrote regular columns, and her niece, which was the lady who wrote the books or edited the books, put them all together.
And you know, you might go into it thinking, oh, it's history, it's going to be dry, it's going to, you know, it's not going to appeal, but it is so accessible. It is, they're a wonderful series of books. I can't recommend them enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Just super fun.
You know, when we did the show one day, Ed Rasmussen was there, and he said, "I was 13 years old and I went to their wedding." So I love stuff like that.
yeah, it's very interesting, the people that came out of the woodwork to see it. And, you know, there was just some wild stories, just some how rough and ready Alaska was at that time. Just things that were unbelievable, that people were telling these personal anecdotes of these people and of the conflict. And but what was really interesting is politics wasn't the way it was. It is now, you know? These people who were diehard Republicans and diehard Democrats worked side by side for statehood, you know, even though the Republican Party was dead set against Alaska becoming a state,
right?
Because they were afraid it was going to come in as a Democratic state. And when we look at things now, what a shocker that is to realize.
That's right. That always got a laugh, too.
Yeah, yeah. But at the time, Republicans and Democrats were working side by side, shoulder to shoulder, to make Alaska a
state. That's true, and they were successful.
Yep.
You know that Bob Atwood and Zach were great friends, and so on Zach's 80th birthday, there was a major celebration in Anchorage, and he had an entire insert on the paper all about Zach and his contributions, which we had up on the wall during the play, and which I'm going to give to the library to put up. So people will really have a lot of insight about Zach and about Alaska at that time.
And just, you know, what a super warm person he was. You know, just the play is called The Courtship of Zach and Ada, but their romance was lovely. And everybody who talked about it, everybody who knew them personally would talk about what a sweet couple they were. That one person referred to them as Alaska's sweethearts. And so, yeah, just wonderful stuff.
Well, did you get any dirt on them?
You know, I did, but I'm not it. For one thing, the play isn't about that, you know. I'm not here to expose stories, but it's more of a celebration of statehood and of these people. But at that time, business was cutthroat, and Zach was a very shrewd businessman. And there are people who say unkind things about him, and you can choose to believe him or choose not to believe him. But there are those anecdotes out there that are very colorful. And then Alaska was a very, very different frontier town.
And the military was very present.
Oh, yeah. Which I learned all sorts of unrelated, very fascinating anecdotes about that. I mean, just, and I'll come back to Dick's question in a moment, but one of the things that was interesting is that as we look at the footage, there's a 4th of July parade that is happening before the World War.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the soldiers are standing on the floats and they're saluting the flag in what we would consider to be the traditional Nazi salute with the hand extended out. And realizing that once upon a time, that was the salute. And it wasn't until that became so associated with Nazi Germany that America changed. But you see these photos and these video clips, and it's very alarming. But yeah, the just the rough and ready time that they lived in. There were lots of parties, and Ada had a few young men in her life, and a couple of disastrous marriages, and there are notorious stories about Zach's lady friends and so on.
But that was the way it was. But my favorite kind of story is about Zulu Swanson.
Yes.
And Gladys Happybottom.
Gladys Happybottom's House of Joy was a notorious body house back in the day. And Zulu Swanson and Zach did, in fact, keep company. They were a couple. And one of the stories I wasn't absolutely able to confirm, but I got different variations of the theme, was that one time when Zach was really down on his luck, Zulu had this fabulous diamond ring.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave him the diamond ring, and that diamond ring is what allowed him to purchase his very first pharmacy that then grew into kind of his business empire that allowed him to become the philanthropist he was. So if you want to think about it, one of the roots of the Lusac Library is the diamond ring of a notorious Anchorage madam.
Well, you know, libraries are real open about things like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't suppress the facts.
That's
you know,
right.
They're going to find them out. You know, folks can find these facts out.
And speaking of that, libraries are such a community center themselves now, way beyond just checking out books and things.
Yeah, we're becoming more and more of a cultural center. It's an area where people can come and they can experience different culture for free. So you can get a taste of the local bands or this play. I mean, local theater here is wonderful, so it's nice that people can say, yo, I want to see more of this. And one of the things we're also going to do is Jazz Fighting Hunger is going to be part of this. Ray Hooker always has a concert.
Did you say Lady Hooker?
Ray.
Oh, Ray.
Ray Booker.
I thought you were just continuing the conversation.
Ray Booker has a concert for the food bank, and that's going to be part of this.
Oh.
So we're trying to touch all the different cultural types.
Well, I like the idea that it's going to also be a magnet for teenagers and young people now. That
oh, yes, our Teen Underground at the Lusac. And Mountain View also is doing a lot for teenagers. They have a good community room, and they're having a lot of things over there. And Eagle River also has a separate space for teens. So more and more we're... it's what the community wanted in our community plan, so we're really focusing and trying to make it happen.
So Lusac is considered the main branch. Is that
correct?
What it is? And then there are all the branch libraries.
We call them neighborhood libraries now because they really adjust to their neighborhood. They respond to what's going on there and try to serve that community. So they're really more of a neighborhood than a branch implies that. There's one tree and there's all these branches, but each of them are really important in their own
unique
way.
Unique to their own community.
I think it is important to recognize that Lusac is sort of the father of this system, that he enabled, by paying off the first library, he really got us going. He gave us a great boost.
And he also donated all of his Sidney Lawrences and Ziegler's, except for a few, which are still on display, I assume.
That's right. Beautiful paintings.
And that was an interesting thing to discover that Zach was a friend of Sidney Lawrence.
Oh, yes.
And so bought many of his paintings, not because he loved the paintings, but because he wanted to help Sidney Lawrence, and Lawrence was really down on his luck.
Yeah, he was a barterer with his work.
One of the things that Zach, that we discovered is that Zach at some point went, well, I've got too many of these, and just burned them.
What?
Just got rid of some of these Sidney Lawrences. He didn't get rid of
them.
He left them behind. He left them behind when he was like leaving an office, and somebody came behind and went, "Well, I don't know what these are," and burned these early Sidney Lawrences.
I never heard that one. Sidney Lawrence painted like a zillion paintings,
he did.
And there was a big range from schlock to real masterpieces.
And so what we can hope for is that the ones that got lost were the schlock.
I fervently do. And, well, of course, Jerry did play. There was a one-man show written just for Jerry about Sidney Lawrence called Sid. So that was fun, too.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the future of the library. You know, there's all of this naysaying that libraries are doomed, the internet has replaced the library and stuff. And yet, every time I step in foot in the LUSAC, it's always still a vibrant place, and there's people of all ages there, and I think that the doom of the libraries is a myth.
I think it's a real important cultural crossroads. You know, there's so much going on there all the time. I'm totally amazed when people say, oh, nobody goes to libraries anymore. I'm going, well, I don't think that's true at all. And it's interesting because we are diversifying, we are expanding our collections, and we're adjusting to what people need today. But there are a lot of people out there that just think, a library just as books, or a library, you know, they put us in this little generalization, the stereotype, and they don't realize what they're missing.
Well, there's a young man who just recently graduated from UAA who said, I wish I would have known about the library's video library, because I just happened to stumble on it, and now I'm checking out all the time, you know? And he discovered that in his fourth year of college. You know, so, yeah, I think there's a lot to be discovered at libraries that people take for granted, that they don't even think what the library has to
offer.
Right,
and if you're a history buff, that Alaskana collection there is exquisite.
And even going on the web, you can download e-books or, you know, spoken books. I mean, it's just, you don't have to actually come in. And it, since it's a virtual library, when your time is up, it just disappears off of your whatever device you've taped it to.
So it's, you mean, really just like flexible. You can buy books for your Kindle or something? You get it from the library,
you
too?
You can download them. Yep.
Interesting.
Yep, all you need is a library card.
I have a library card.
As do I.
Dick, you got a library card?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I remember when you lived in Valdez, you said the state library would deliver any book you wanted
well,
to you.
The interlibrary
interlibrary
system,
loan.
Yeah, and I found out I could get books from Portland and Seattle, and so I use that a bunch.
Yeah, that's still the case. Yeah. And we do a lot of business in our interlibrary loan, a lot of sending out to the smaller libraries all over the state.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of nice to be feel like we're supporting all the other libraries.
Well, you keep the post office in business too, right?
there's a thing about libraries that it's there's almost, I don't know, I can't even put my finger on the word I want. But you go in it, and just to be in the presence of all those books.
Oh, it's sacred almost.
Yes, I guess that's the thing. And there's such a nostalgia and a feeling of connection. My own personal library that I went to all the time in my youth was the Diamond Branch. So I was heartbroken when it closed. I remember so many happy hours just sitting in there and just pulling a book off the shelf and not even checking it out, just... While my mom shopped, I would sit in the Diamond Library and read these books, and I miss it greatly.
Yeah, that was sad, sad, sad.
Yeah, at one point there were 9 different branch libraries. So now we're down to, one in Mountain View, Muldoon, Eagle River, and Girdwood. So it has reduced.
Okay, well, here's to the libraries. Here's to being able to enjoy the courtship of Zach and Ada one more time. And I know the libraries were crucial to my childhood, the ones right across the street from where I lived, and I hung out there a lot. So thank you guys for joining us today. Happy birthday, happy 25th birthday, LUSAC Library, and join us again next month for another edition of Alaska Radio Reader Rambler.